Right straight out that door, just about a quarter mile, is a place called Forest Hill Cemetery, but it's resurrection ground for a lot of folks over there. God has allowed me to say some words over many, many of those graves in 48 years, and many of them I knew personally and know that it's resurrection ground for them. Amen. I want you to look in Matthew 21. Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to read just a few verses, a very short little story that Jesus gave, illustrating how that he came unto his own. His own received him not. Nationally, the religious leaders of Israel did not receive him. But of course, many did. And he said over in John 1:12, but unto as many as received him, unto them gave he power to become the sons of God. And he gives an illustration here of two brothers in the little verses I'll read to you. And really, those brothers kind of represent a lot of you, almost everybody, in fact, I guess we'd say. But picking it up here in Matthew 21, look at verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning on the space to repent. If I had time, I'd go with you over to Revelation chapter 2, and we'd read over there the story of the Lord writing letters to the seven churches in the early chapters of the book of Revelation. One of those churches was the name Thyatira. Out of the seven, I believe it was about the fourth one. And you read over there where it got some bad doctrine in, and the Lord pointed it out. And told them they had the doctrine of Jezebel, the doctrine of fornication. They had that sin. And God said, I gave her a space to repent, and she did not. If you go to that cemetery over there and you look at the headstones, you'll see names, and you will see the date of birth, and you'll see the date of death. In between those two dates, you'll see generally a little dash. A little gash, as it were, in the stone. Do you understand that our life is fleeting, and that little dash represents the space between the time we was born and the time we die? And that little space is our life. And so when I speak on the subject of a space to repent, if you don't repent during that time in the sense of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you and died for you, it's going to be eternally too late, and that space passes so fast. We look around here today, including me, and we got a lot of gray hair, but it don't seem like we could be that old, does it? Huh? Don't you feel like in your heart, you know, young people don't quite understand that. They think, you know, one day in school is 10 years. No, the truth is, it seems like it passes slow, but then it speeds up, and it speeds up, and it speeds up, and now look where we are, right? Right, you understand what I'm saying to you. But God does give a space to repent, to come back to him. And he always does this. This is a principle of God. A space is given. A space is always given. The Bible says that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, when we're talking about repentance, we're talking about admitting we're wrong, our way's wrong, God's way's right, leaving our way and going back to his way. We're talking about a turnaround. We're talking about an about face. If you've been saved as a Christian, you know what I'm talking about. There was a time you had to admit you were wrong, a time that you were going the wrong way, and a time you said, God, I'm wrong, you're right, and you turned around and went back to Him. That's what we're talking about. And God always gives a space. He is long-suffering. Now, that call of the Lord may come when you're young, when you're in the middle of that dash, or when you're at the end of that dash. Trouble is, we never know when the dash is going to end, do we? We don't know. I believe this. I believe God starts speaking to young folks, even to children. We'll have a whole rally of kids over here. We would have, without the rain, I think, maybe had 1,000 on buses this morning brought in, and we'll still have a good number. And it's because we believe, even as children, God can speak to them. They can hear God's voice. I believe that with all my heart. I think back on my own stuff, and some of you have heard my testimony. I remember in the third grade getting down side of a little Georgia Creek bed, a little bit of water running over pretty rocks that caught my attention, and the trees that were so pretty. And as a third grader, I got on my knees and said, God, you must be real to create something this pretty. And God was witnessing to me out of His creation. But I want to say to you, as I grew on up into life, more than one time God spoke to me. Many times I tried to put it off, tried to ignore it, but it was always there. And you don't kid me, it's always there. God does speak to our hearts. He may start with you young, and there's certain things that will happen. I had a bad wreck one time. I was in a car load of boys, and wonder we were not all killed. And I'll tell you what, God spoke to me that night. I know that He did. I didn't get saved. I didn't come to the Lord Jesus. But then there was a time that I came to church and I heard the good news that Jesus loved me while I was wrong, loved me while I was yet a sinner. That's what the scripture says. And God was speaking to me. And I came two or three times and four times maybe, and I heard that and I heard that and I heard that. And the Lord kept speaking. And then I remember right where I was sitting right on the right from the pulpit right here, about halfway back. And that night, as the preacher gave the invitation to come and accept Christ as Savior, it seemed in my heart I heard Him say, would you come if I never called you again, if this was it, if this was your last chance? And by the grace of God, I did. Oh, what a difference. What a difference when I turned from my way and went back His way. When I repented and sided with God, what a difference. What a difference. I'm thankful before my space ended that I turned to the Lord. I don't know where you are in your space right now, but you've used a lot of it up. If you've never come to Christ, you've got no guarantee there's any left. You understand what I'm saying to you? I'm saying God does give a space to repent. Nobody will be able to stand before the judgment and say, Lord, you didn't call me. Yes, He did. The Bible says the Spirit of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Maybe He spoke to you through a song like you heard a while ago. Maybe He spoke to you through a message or somebody personally or some event that happened, but He spoke. He spoke, and you know that He did. And like these two boys here in the text that we read, maybe you said, I'm coming, but you never did. Good news is, one that said he wasn't coming can come. He can change his mind. He can turn around. He can come back. That's what you have in the story of the two sons. Jesus is saying something to Israel. He's giving them a message. How that you could have come. You rejected John the Baptist preaching. You rejected. And now the ones you call the sinners, the publicans and the harlots, they're coming before you. Because you said you were coming, but you didn't. I wonder how many folks listen to me radio this morning or here in the building. How many folks have said many times, I'm coming, Lord. But you haven't. But you haven't. And perhaps there's some that says, I remember when I told God I wouldn't, but I did. Thankfully, I did. I did turn. I did come back. I did repent. I did come back to the Lord. And so a space is always given by God, and often it's known. It's known. How about the story? You know the story in the Bible of Jonah? Whale swallowed Jonah. I believe that because the Bible says so. But you remember the story? God told him to go down and preach to a city called Nineveh. That city is still over today, one of the oldest cities in the world. And Jonah didn't want to go. Remember the story? He didn't want to go. He got on a boat going the opposite direction, and God brought the storm. And even the heathen knew the storm was from God. And they started checking themselves and their relationship with their heathen God. They started checking. But listen to me a minute now. It was from God, and Jonah knew it was from God. And as soon as they said, "Why is this?" Jonah said, "It's me." And you know the story, how he told them to throw him overboard, and they did. And he went to the city, and he didn't go to the city. He went into the belly of the whale, and when the whale threw him up on the shore, he went to the city. He went to Nineveh, and what did he cry? 40 days. You got the space of 40 days to get right. 40 days to repent, or judgment's going to fall. Now, to the good side of that city, it did repent. Maybe that's the reason it's one of the oldest cities today. Even in the Muslim wars going on over there, and it's been hurt pretty bad several times, but it's still there. And Jonah's tomb was still in the city. Been in the news here in the last couple of years. You know what? They did repent. The king got in sackcloth and ashes. He repented, and God spared him. But the space that Jonah said, you got 40 days, 40 days, and they acted within that space. God always gives a space, and often he clearly lets you know he's given you a space, an opportunity to turn, to repent. And it's a time of decision. I would not ask you to say anything out loud to me this morning, but I suspect right in the heart, in your very mind's heart of your mind this morning, you know God told you, spoke to you, told you to get right, to come back to him, to turn from your way to his way. You know that very clear. It's a time of decision. You know, in the last election, we were hoping that America would use the time and repent and come back, but it's not looking that way, is it? And we are in trouble with God. Don't kid yourself. We're about to use our space up, which means using our opportunity up to repent and get right with God. The Bible warns about repent or perish, and it warns every nation. When it says that the wicked shall be cast into hell, and every nation that forgets God. America's known God, but America is working at trying to forget God. That's the trouble. One of the men out there told me this morning, said, "Did you hear they've passed a bill in some of the northern states now where they can continue to abort the babies right on up until 5 minutes before they see daylight?" That is evil, folks. That is evil. We need to repent of the evil. We do. And God has given us a space. I don't know whether he gave us a space in the last election or not. I don't know how quick we're using it up. But I do know that you can use it up. Yes, you can. It's often known, I don't know about you personally, how much time would you guess you had left? You'd better be right, because the Bible doesn't give you any length. It just gives you a space to repent, a space to repent. But the Bible doesn't say tomorrow. It says today is the day of salvation. It only gives you now. Don't give you tomorrow. Don't give you next week. Got no guarantee of tomorrow. I don't know. There's a story in the Bible in Acts chapter 16. We often refer to it as called the Philippian jailer. And the Philippian jailer had Paul and Silas, a couple of God's servants, falsely accused, beaten, and put in his prison. And unlike us, they were not griping. They were singing at midnight. And God sent an earthquake. So when he sent the earthquake to free Paul and Silas, that was just a side effect. He sent the earthquake to let the jailer know his space was about up. His opportunity to repent was about gone. I don't know all that jailer's thoughts. I don't know how much he knew before Paul and Silas went in there. But I tell you one thing, he did respond right, because when he brought them out, what did he say to them? He asked the greatest question that's ever been asked. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he got saved, he and his house. I mean, within the space that he was still alive, still breathing, where God spoke to him, and he responded and said, "What should I do to get saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Space to repent. That was the jailer's space to repent that night as he came to Paul and Silas and asked, what must I do to be saved? I don't know, maybe that jailer had said no before, but he got it right then. That first boy said, I won't go out. But later he did. Isn't that wonderful? You can still come. How many times have you said no to God? How many church services you've been in? How many invitations you said no and no, and I won't quit this, and I won't turn from my way, and I won't turn to your way, and I'll do it my way? How many times? The good news is you're still alive. You still got space to repent. You can turn back and say yes. You can still turn back and say yes. You know, interesting to look at this. God does give us space. He often lets people know about it. And then it comes to an end. There's a verse, I wouldn't turn to it, but in the little book of Ezra, where Ezra's talking to God and he's confessing the sins of Israel and he's confessing that you gave us a space of grace and we didn't listen. Folks, if you're alive still, you've got a space of grace left. Grace, unmerited favor of God. Grace, something you don't deserve. Grace of God that will save your soul if you trust him. I don't know how long your dash is. I don't know. Don't matter. Right now, God's given you a space of grace. You can come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you look through the Bible and you see that God's grace does have an end sometime. In the days of Noah, Genesis 6, the sins got so great, the imagination of men's hearts was only evil from the youth up. And God did send judgment. And he made this statement first, though. And some believe for 120 years Noah preached. I don't know if it was that long or not, but I'll tell you this. It finally ran out. Finally ran out of space, an opportunity. And the Bible says, over there about the days of Noah that my spirit, God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And there came an end. There came an end when the rain fell. It wasn't supposed to rain, never had before, but it did. Noah had warned about it, and here it come. And you read the scripture over there close, Noah didn't shut the door. God shut the door. And all of them on the outside clawing and begging as the water rose could not get in. Noah probably would open the door, but he couldn't open the door. God shut the door. And the truth is, space had come. That grace space had ended. It was up. Time was up. God was so long-suffering. 120 years, only 8 souls got saved, as it were. How about the story of old Pharaoh down in Egypt? Over and over and over, he had a chance, but he hardened his heart, and one plague after another. And his space finally came to an end. And he died in the Red Sea, drowned just like all those baby boys he was trying to drown when Moses was a baby. Remember the story? We all have a space. We all have a dash. During that dash lifetime, we do a lot of things. We have good and bad. We have ups and downs. We love. Others love us. I heard somebody say, well, Brother McBride said this morning, I believe. He said God had given him a good life here, but much better is waiting. Right? I say that. God's given me a good life here by his grace, and especially since I repented and came to him. My, I wouldn't trade it for anything, for nothing. Nothing this world holds. Yes, it'll get better when I get with him, but in the meantime, I've had relationships down here with people that love me, and I love them. Do you know what is going to happen? Death is going to come. And when it does, my space is going to be up. the relationships that I have because of God are going to go on. If you're here and you got a loved one, a wife, a kid, a parent, and you're not saved, and they are, and they go on, it's over. That relationship's broke. I don't care how much you loved them. Saddest funerals I ever go to are the lost people burying a saved person. They know they're not going to see them anymore. They got no hope. Until you repent, it ends at the grave. But if you repent and come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that grave can be turned into resurrection ground. Without Jesus, it's not resurrection ground for you. No, it isn't. That loved one's gone and you will not see them anymore. You're not going to the same place. You say, well, I'm just not going to do it. Good news is you've got time to turn around and say, yes, I will. One boy said, I won't, but he did. The other one said, I will, but he didn't. Which one represents you? Which one? Represented in one of them. Have you said no, but aren't you glad you can turn it around and say yes? The Bible tells us that God commands men everywhere to repent, to turn, to come back to Him. And the truth is, if you haven't, your space is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. That space of grace is disappearing. This morning, somebody may have invited you to this building, to this church. You may have come for several different reasons, and we're so glad you did. But the best reason you could have come is to realize again, I can repent. I can come back to God. I can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I can have my name written in heaven. I can have that relationship with that wife or those kids, those loved ones, to continue after the grave. In the resurrection, see them again. See them again. Oh, that's... I read the scripture where it talks about Christians do not have to sorrow as others that have no hope. It is an awful thing to see folks part with loved ones and have no hope to see them again. It's an awful thing. But what a blessing it is to realize, and I was thinking when you were singing, Brother Brian, Mom and Dad's over there in that resurrection ground. I'm going to see them again. They're coming forth. I've had part in the funeral of so many. Some of them have been kids. Some of them been very old. But thank God for every one of them that had repented and come to the Lord, because it's resurrection ground for them. It really is. It really is. One may go on ahead of the other. That generally happens. What a wonderful truth to know they may go ahead of me, but I can catch up with them if I know the Savior. Same Savior they knew. The old preacher, I can't call his name right now, but I heard him tell it. He was still preaching, but he'd gotten on up pretty old. Obviously had a hearing aid and all up here, but he was still preaching well. And he told this. He said, my wife died. He said it was a sad time, but a sweet time. But he said, as I said goodbye to her in the last days of her life, and he said as she was dying and getting to where she could hardly say anything else, he said, I've been over close, and she said to me, honey, I'll walk ahead slowly. And he said, I realized what she was talking about. Said, we were country kids. We went to the same country school. He said, we were sweet on each other from grammar school on. And we got married and lived a long life together. But he said, I realized what her words were referring to. She said, honey, I'll walk on ahead slowly. He said, in that country school in those days, said, We had a good walk home, and we walked the same direction together most of the way, and he said the teachers were very careful. And as we got a little older, become teenagers, the teachers would not let us walk home together. They would take all precautions. So they would send the girl on ahead. My wife later would go on ahead. And after 20, 30 minutes, they'd let me walk. They wouldn't let us walk home together. But he said, what she was talking about was that when they'd tell her to go on, get started, and Billy will come on later, she'd kind of slip around close to me and she'd say, I'll walk on ahead slowly. He said, I realized she was saying, I'm going on, but you can catch up. I'm gonna move slowly, but I'm going to be waiting on you. I want to ask you, have you got some that's gone on ahead? Will it do them any good to wait on you? Are you coming? Have you repented? Have you turned to the same Jesus they were trusting? Do you have the same assurance of heaven they left you with here? I'd say to you, what a great day. What a great day. Even though you said you wouldn't, you can change your mind and come. You can follow on slowly, but you got to know the same Jesus that loved one you. Do you know him this morning? I hope you do. That you've said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, and save me. Repent from your way and turn back to his. I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, we realize that you're so good and you're long-suffering and mercy, that you give chance after chance, and you've spoken from maybe the time somebody was a kid till now, and ask them to repent and come to you and turn from their way to yours and believe on your Son that loved and died for them on the cross. Father, we are in your house this morning. I have read from your book. I am your mouthpiece to declare your word. And I declare on the authority of this book that you said, Jesus, you said, that whosoever shall come unto me, I'll in no wise cast him out. Father, as we sing a verse of song and invite men, women to leave that seat and come forward and receive Christ, repent from their way, turn to your way, and by your grace, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for them right now, Father. I can't do it for them. But Father, I remember the day that the Lord Jesus spoke to me and I said yes to him. I think he'd spoken before and I'd said no, but I remember the time, the grace that was given me to say yes. I pray for those in our midst today to do that very thing, to meet me right down front and say, preacher, I'm going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Like the Philippian jailer, I'm going to believe on him. Pray you'd have your way now in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. We're going to sing a song. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll come receive Christ this morning, would you meet me here? We've done a lot to get you to come today, and we're glad you did, but we want to make sure. It don't matter if you said no before. Today is your space to say yes, to repent, turn back to God, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you meet me here as we sing, will you come?
Just as